message this morning is entitled Window to the Real World, and it's taken actually out of verse 17, open his eyes that he may see. So a window to the real world. But to get there, let's just talk about a few observations. It's not my message, just a few observations. The observation number one would be the true prophets of God are not hiding away in strongholds or attended by bodyguards, but are at the forefront of God's battles. Those that fight against God, his people, and prophets know not what they do. The prophet Elisha was living in his town, living with his servant. Brother David does better at this than I do. How about I use this? Okay. So the servant, he was just there living just like you and I do, not hiding at all, and yet this army came and encompassed him. The second observation I want to make is that the rising early, he sent his servant out, and he rose early and went out. Well, we need to rise early with a purpose ourselves, whether or not you go out to gather your manna for your family's provision, whether or not you're crossing your Jordan for a new adventure, or whether or not you're running to meet the Lord, meet the risen Lord, then rise up early with a purpose. When you read through Genesis through Revelation, most of the time, by and far, rising early had great connotation. It was good. It had its benefits to your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being. And then the next observation is he says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that are with them. Without our fightings, within our fears, those whose faith is strong ought tenderly and compassionately consider and help those who are weak. Do what you can to strengthen their hands. Elisha saw himself safe and wished no more than his servant saw what he saw. And then lastly, pray. Elisha prayed. The greatest kindness we can do for those who are fearful and faint-hearted is to pray for them, to recommend them to the mighty grace of God. The opening of our eyes will be the silencing of our fears. In the dark, we are apt to be frightened. The clearer sight we have of the sovereignty and power of heaven, the less we shall fear the calamities of this earth. And what a privilege united prayer is. We do it every Sunday morning here, and I appreciate it, Ken. What a power it could be if the believing husband and wife knew that they were joined together in the name of Jesus to experience his presence and power in united prayer. If friends believed, what mighty help prayer when they pray for each other. If in every prayer meeting, the coming together in the name, the faith in his presence, and in the expectation of the answer was foremost. If in every church united, effectual prayer was regarded as one of the chief purposes for which Christians are banded together, the highest exercise of their power as a church. And if in the church universal, the coming of the kingdom and the king himself, first in the mighty outpouring of his Holy Spirit, then in his own glorious person, were matters of ceaseless, united crying to God, who can say what a blessing might come to and through those who thus agreed to prove God in the fulfillment of his promise? Well, those were just some observations. The message is when Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see, and he saw the real world. It was a window to the real world. Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. The Apostle Paul stands in a long line, in the mainstream of a long line, to whom God was pleased to make known something of his purpose. Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him. Gather yourselves together, that I, Jacob, may tell you which shall befall you in the latter days. According to all that I show you, Moses, even shall you make it. All this, said David, have I been made to understand in writing from the hand of the Lord, even all the works of this pattern. Blessed are you, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. By revelation was made known unto me, Paul, the mystery of Christ, which has now been revealed unto us, holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. None of these men came into the work of God by the exercise of their wits. For all God's work is related to the eternal purpose in Christ, and that purpose can only be made known by divine unveiling. Divine truth needs a divine teacher. I know the Bible says in the book of Joel, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. But the great marvel of the incarnation slips into an ordinary childhood's life. The great brilliance of the transfiguration vanishes in the devil-possessed valley. And the glory of the resurrection descends into a breakfast on the seashore. It's not an anti-climax, but a revelation from God. How our eyes open to see the real world. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We know in time past that dreams came, visions came, and they may come now. I don't discount them one bit. The power of the Holy Ghost can do on you, in you, through you, anytime He wants, through His church as a whole. But by and far, our learning, our teaching, our growing comes through this today. So it behooves us to know this book. The physical scientist manipulates and changes dead matter. The journalist seeks principally to inform or interest people for the passing hour. The religionist, the lawyer, and the politician simply seek to change and mold the opinions of men. But God, through the power of His holy word, is dealing with fundamentals. His object is to change not merely the opinions and conduct, but the character. To work a moral revolution in the affections, the disposition, the wills of men. To turn them from temporal things which they see to eternal things which they do not see. From all vices to all virtues. From utter selfishness to utter self-sacrifice. And that often in the ever-present, in spite of the ever-present self-interest and in the face of the combined opposition of the world, the flesh, and the devil. All Scripture is inspired by God, useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training, in doing what is right, so that the man of God may be perfectly fit, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible says, "For the word of God is living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and as a discerner in the thoughts and intents of the heart." And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Where does the Holy Spirit lead us through the teaching of this word? This is awful, isn't it? Okay, Jesus says, "When the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me." So if our goal is oneness with Jesus, how do we get there? When Elisha prayed, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes to see the real world." The real world we know is spiritual. It's not physical. Because Jesus said in John 17, "This is eternal life, that you believe on Me." So we begin eternal life the day we said, "I do, I am, I will." And we start that journey, so eternal life. So we've entered into a different world because we know, the Bible says, "For by Him all things were created," Jesus, "that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, to Him, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Christ is God's everything. 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 Nothing is outside of Christ. Nothing. You want the oneness. The Bible is the window. This is our window. You may have a dream tonight. You may have a revelation. You may have a direct word from God. You may have all those things. And I'm for it and I applaud you because I desire them too. But gradual growth in most lives, in most Christian men and women, boys and girls, comes through gradual growth. Paul said, I have learned to be content. So it's a growth. It's every day. When you put on your shoes and you brush your teeth, you start over again. And you grow a little bit more, you grow a little bit more. And the more you read, the more it sinks in here. Not just reading for reading's sake. There's a lot of derelicts out there that know the Bible very well. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it becoming living, powerful. We have to understand where we live now, where our real world exists, and it exists in Mount Zion. It exists in the city of the living God. It exists in the heavenly Jerusalem. We're surrounded by a countless host of angels. We're involved in a festal gathering and assembly of God's firstborn sons, enrolled as citizens in heaven. To a judge is the God of all, to the spirits of upright men who have attained perfection, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. That's where we live every day. And to the degree that our eyes are opened by revelation, by this revelation, then we see Jesus. And as we see Jesus, we draw closer, we draw closer, we draw closer. We have to ask the question, is the prayer Jesus prayed in John 17 a reality in our lives? When He said, I pray for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us. We have to realize that Jesus, remember when He went back to Bethany and He was going to raise Lazarus, and He said, He proclaimed, I'm saying this prayer out loud for their benefit because I know, Father, You hear me all the time. So He was just saying it for the benefit of the people. He's saying, we have to realize that now He has prayed a prayer that absolutely is a done deal. It's done. The problem is we don't walk in it. That's the problem. It's done. So to the degree that we say that we want that same oneness with Jesus, then it becomes a reality in our lives. It's already a gift to us that we can be one. So we have to ask, is in Galatians, is the proclamation the Apostle Paul made in Galatians ours? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. As the reality come that we are walking in that crucified life. It's not me, it's Christ living through me. If the law of gradual growth, and I believe all through the Bible it teaches that, the children of Israel didn't take over the promised land in 1 week, it was years. And Christians don't grow in grace in one day, it's years. Now, you may have special impartations on any given point in time, and that's wonderful, but the growth comes through you picking up this word, you staying on your knees, and I'm talking to me. I grow by reading this book. I grow by praying to my Lord, a constant communal talk with the Lord. So it takes time for us to understand that the Bible is teaching one truth, not many truths, one truth, Jesus Christ. All truths stem from them. We invert that, actually, through our study. I went to seminary, and they teach truth. They teach, we study about creation, we study about original sin, we study about redemption, we study about sanctification, we study about faith, hope, love, and on you go to the doctrines of the Bible. But when in fact, that's inverted. If we assimilate truths, think of it this way, Brother Paul's there is going to teach me something, a truth, then I've assimilated that truth here. And then Brother Ken teaches me another truth and I assimilate it. The problem is it's still only partial because it's coming from without. So it's a partial truth. And then the way I interpret it and give it out is partial. When in fact, Jesus said, if we would take in the truth of Him, I am the way. I'm not going to teach you the way. I am the way. I am not going to show you the truth. I am the truth. And I'm not going to give you life. I am life. When Martha said, I know you could have raised him on the last day, he said, I am the resurrection. When he's around, you're alive. So if he's inside you, you're alive. And then the truth begins to go out. You know the rivers of living water the Bible talks about all the time? That's supposed to be natural. I kind of have to think of, wait a minute, I want some water to come out because I want to touch this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. It's supposed to be natural. So when Jesus comes and abides with me and I in him, then it becomes a natural life. And that natural life, the waters flow all the time. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to try and love somebody. I love somebody. I don't have to try and tell the truth. I tell the truth. All the things the Bible teaches then becomes mine naturally. Because it's not me, it's Christ in me flowing out. So those rivers of living water, we've inverted the truth. The Bible says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. How complete? Complete. If Christ is God's everything, and all the fullness of God resides in him, and I reside in Jesus, it's done. So to the degree that I can understand that, appreciate it, assimilate it into my life, then I become the walking, talking. I read a book one time called The Physical Side of Being Spiritual because we live in a physical world here. And it was very good because it talked about how do you take spiritual application and apply it from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night. It was very good. But we become then whom Jesus says we are, witnesses unto me. You know, the apostles didn't change who they were when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. They became who Jesus said they were 50 days earlier, witnesses unto me. And that's what happens to us, and it becomes natural then. The apostle Paul prayed the prayer. He said, for this cause I bow my knees. What cause? This cause, that we would be one with Jesus. This cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that you, me, are rooted and grounded in love, that we might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes our understanding, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, that same fullness that the Bible says Jesus is filled with, all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in him, works in us, and to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. When he opened his eyes, he saw a spiritual world around him. He saw horses and chariots of fire protecting Elisha. I thought it was odd that they didn't really end up doing anything because when they weren't needed, because Elisha prayed again and said, when he came out to the army and said, smite them with blindness, Lord, and I'll just lead them back up where they came from. and actually led them to Samaria. And when their eyes were open, they found out they were right in the midst of enemy territory. This very people they came to destroy, they were there. And the King Jehoram said, "You want me to destroy him? Can I destroy him? I want to destroy him." And Elisha says, "No, let them go back. Feed them, send them back. They won't come back." And they didn't. And so it wasn't needed, but we need to know in our where our real world is. So when our eyes are open, our ears are unstopped, our heart is softened to this word, we begin to see a spiritual application take place in our lives, in the lives of our wives, husbands, children, parents, those in the workplace, because we've been given a work to do. And that work is far more intense, it's far more important than what we deem it. When we read through the New Testament, and first of all, Jesus said, this is when they ask him, "What work should we do?" He said, "Believe on me." When we believe on him and grow, and we grow in that grace, then we become the champions that he says we are. We all know that when we wake up in the morning, and those of us who have a desire to be at the forefront of the battle, we put on the full armor that day. But we're not going to win any victory. We're just going to walk in the victory he's already achieved. And so we join hands together, just as we join hands in prayer across this auditorium this morning, and we go in that victory. And every foot, every place we set our foot, that Jesus said, "It's yours, this person's mine, this person's mine, this person's mine." And so we're out doing his battle, winning his victories that day with no fear. We don't have to hide. We don't have to run around. We don't have to have a whole bunch of bodyguards. We just get up and do his work. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." This word takes you to Jesus. It's the window to the real world. The real world is Jesus. Jesus is the one that'll change the world around us, not me, not you, not what we do as a body here, as far as whether we have lunch or we have a camp meeting or we have that. We do these things to have an opportunity to share God's grace. But we know that unless the unction of the Holy Spirit comes and touches a person in their heart, then it's just so many words. It's just doesn't have a whole lot of meaning. So this morning, as we close our service, as we go share and fellowship and eat lunch together, or you go to be with family on this Memorial Day weekend, as you reminisce about family members, friends who have served in the military or currently serving, as you use this time, this Memorial weekend, think about the revelation that God has given you, the world, the real world you live in, and how you view it. How do you view the person sitting next to you? How you view your Christian community? When you go into Bandera, you go into Pipe Creek, you go into San Antonio, the world around you, how you view it. And as you begin to see it through eyes as Elisha's servant began to see it then, that there's a host, there's a reality of spiritualness, whether we see it or not in our lives. It's there. And so it'd be my prayer this morning that our eyes are open to see a different world as we walk through the day then. So let's go to the Lord in prayer then. And I would invite you to come. You know, the elders are here, deacons are here, teachers are here. You may know somebody that you want to pray with or for. You're most welcome to do that. Brother Randall and his team will be here. So you come and let's pray together now as we close our service. Father, again, we're grateful for the opportunity to come before you, to worship you in word as well as spirit, as well as song. So, Father, we thank you now. We thank you for the next few moments. Lord, if there be anybody here that needs to share, needs to pray, then, Lord, lead them to those that they need to pray with. So, Father, we thank you now for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand. If you have a prayer that you'd like to come up and pray, please feel free. We have our elders here.